Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we've been doing this series through the parable, some of the parables in the Bible, and today I realize that I'm preaching to the choir when I say I am thankful for the wealth of information that Don packs into our weekly Bethel Light, which is emailed to us each Wednesday. And it includes things like the media link to the previous week's sermon, a blog of the sermon, past Sunday's sermon revisited, Bethel family life activities, the updated videos that I'm sending him on the mission trip to Guatemala, the cooking burrito ministry on Saturdays, Sunday morning prayer support group that Mylene leads, the pastoral care hours, the Zoom link for the 7 a.m. Meditation that we're doing, the art of noticing, and the scripture lesson and sermon title for the upcoming Sunday sermon. I'm also sure that each of you diligently read the Bethel Light every week, particularly this week, and you notice the title of my sermon. In fact, I got a call from someone and said, "Are you really preaching about that?" Because the title of my sermon listed in the Bethel Light is The Parable of Weed. And I suspect, and I cannot prove it, that some of you probably tuned into Zoom or came here today in the hope that I would be preaching on the parable of weed because of my sermon title. You probably, though, will accuse me of bait and switch or false advertising, but that was not a typo on the part of Don. But it was intentional on my part to draw your attention to how words can be used. George Bernard Shaw said that English is the easiest language to speak badly. Misspelling some words in the English language also comes quickly to many. I was wondering what y'all laughing at, but now I see what you laughing at. I'll explain that in a minute. Leave that up there, Ron. There's some words that are, it's easy for us to say incorrectly. In fact, when I was in the second grade, I had this, and it was one of those traumatic events. I'm still recovering. And I was in America for about 6 weeks, and I had to stand up in front of my second grade class and read this poem. And you know, in Jamaica, they don't pronounce the H. And I had to say three. And I said, "And the three of them," and everybody did just what you all are doing, laughing at me. And I had to go change my Depends. But many, many English words sound similar, but they're spelled differently. And spelling such words really can be tricky, even for adults, like B-E-A-R or B-A-R-E. S-A-L-E or S-A-I-L. And then there's this one, I think those are called homophones. And H-A-I-R, H-E-R-E, H-E-I-R, H-E-A-R. Here, here, ear, and here. Although the words sound similar, the spelling and the meaning of the words are very different. Often one letter can change the total meaning of a word and the subtle differences in pronunciation and the connotation, what that word means. In the case of our sermon title, just omitting one word changed the entire sermon title from the parable of the weed to the parable of weeds. So today I want to preach from the subject, the parable of the weed. You'll have to go to a 420 friendly church to meet my pharmaceutical sales rep right there. This is me in Jamaica, and I trust me, all I did was take the picture. And this man came up to me and said, "You want to buy some ganja?" And that's ganja. The parable of weeds is a powerful metaphor that Jesus used to teach us about the complexity of life. It's not literally about weeds in the field, but it's about the coexistence of good and evil in our world, and the coexistence of good and evil in your life and my life. As parables often do, this one takes us in a surprising direction, and we, like the disciples, ask, what in the world is Jesus talking about? How do we know what is weed and what is wheat? It reminds us that understanding life's complexities really requires some patience and some willingness on our part to learn. Reading or listening to the daily news can really be an exercise in courage filled with a whole lot of ambiguity. In fact, when Mylene came in, she was sharing some of her frustrations with the news. We risk, as we listen to the news, exposing ourselves to misinformation, to lies, to lousy news, to cold hopelessness, to miserable forecasts. And what often seems to bubble up from the collective, like, unconsciousness of our culture in America is more and more and more fear, a lack of hope, and a society that is anxious to create this world of good and bad, this world of either or, this world of black and white, which really in itself is a recipe for more anxiety. For regulating those who are different from us, who express different opinions, different political affiliation, different sexual orientations, or do not like our perspective, we regulate them to this status of them, the other, the stranger, and even, sadly, the enemy. And ours is really a time of discontent, if not just downright mean-spirited. We're an anxious nation in the post-2024 election that has left many people feeling divided, left many people feeling uncertain about the future. The political landscape has been tumultuous, and this election aftermath has significantly impacted our society. In the aftermath of one of the most divisive and polarizing elections that I have experienced since immigrating to the United States from Jamaica and becoming an American citizen. I felt the need to say that I'm a naturalized American citizen because I don't know if ICE is watching on Zoom. But I guess I shouldn't worry, because if Americans start deporting all immigrants to their country of birth, that would only mean that the Africans would go back to Africa, the British would go back to England, the Chinese would go back to China, the Dutch would go back to the Netherlands, the French would go back to France, the Germans would go back to Germany, the Japanese would go back to Japanese, the Jews would go back to Israel, the Polish would go back to Poland, the Russians would go back to Russians, and then maybe we can give this country back to the Native Americans from whom it was stolen. We live in a time of economic uncertainty, and the world remains at war. At least half, if not more, Americans can find additional reasons to worry. I'm not naive, however, to believe that simply building relationships will solve all of our problems. But the nature of our calling as followers of Christ is such that we dare not, and I pretend that we can meet and discuss without a tension to this quality of relationship, even if we disagree. So we hear big picture views in our lesson today in Matthew of this story of weeds and wheat. The text really reminds us of the anxiety, discomforts that is all around us and that is unique to our time, though it may be expressed in different ways. Paul reminds us in the Living Bible translation of Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation is yearning, hungry for this time of peace to be released from suffering. All creation, Paul says, is waiting for healing and fulfillment. One writer says it this way. One writer calls it a holy longing. Do you have a holy longing? A holy longing for peace. A holy longing for less anxiety. A holy longing. It's a yearning and a search for meaning at the core of our human experience, a desire for something sacred to ground us amidst all of our anxiety. It's a deep spiritual yearning for connection with the divine, a desire for something sacred to just anchor us amidst of all of life's uncertainties. In the parable of the weeds, there seemed to be this similar kind of not yet-ness. There seems to be this longing to imagine this imperfect world somehow becoming perfect. This imperfect, weed-riddled field waiting to be sorted out. It's tempting, really. It's tempting and it's seductive to think of this field as something that's just way out there. Some imaginary place, you know, like Emerald City. Like Bikini Bottom for SpongeBob SquarePants. Like Gotham City for Batman. Like Springfield for The Simpsons. Or maybe it's Mayberry, North Carolina for Andy Griffith. Or maybe it's Hooterville for Green Acres. It's nice for us to think of this field being way out there somewhere, serving only as this like vague metaphor for the troubled times that we're living in. But what if today, and if only today, we consider this field that the weeds and the wheats are growing in as a metaphor for your soul? Your soul, my soul today, is the field that the weeds and the wheat are growing in. What grows there? What's growing in your field? What do you acknowledge? What do you say aloud? What would you prefer to keep secret? What stories do you tell yourself? What stories do I tell myself? You see, the parable of the weeds and the wheat invites us to reflect, not on some landscape out there, but the landscape in here. Because sometimes in life, it's challenging to tell the difference between the weeds and the wheat. Preach, Kenneth. I'm doing the best I can. Are they really my friend? Or as my mom would say, are they just blood suckers? Wheat. Would you really love me if I didn't have, fill in the blank, weed? Wheat. I've noticed you only call me or come by when you need something. Weed? Wheat. Even Jesus had to deal with this in his life because are they just following the crowd or are they following the Christ? Wheat. Are they sick and just seeking a miracle? Maybe they're just hungry and want some physical food. Maybe they're just after a position of prominence and prestige and power. Wheat. Sometimes telling the difference between weeds and wheat can be challenging. And this is equally true for the botanist. In the parable, the weeds, the tares, are bearded darnels. And they're only mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. And bearded darnels is a species of rye grass. And its seeds have a kind of narcotic effect and can be very poisonous. And if enough of them turn up in the bread, they can cause blindness and even death. They grow in Palestine and in Syria, and it resembles, the weeds resemble wheat until the ears appear. Not ears, you know, the ears of the flower. So plowing up and removing the weeds is problematic because until a cereal plant seeding bearing heads spike appears, the good and the evil look just alike. Weed and wheat are almost identical. The darnel weed survives by wrapping its roots around the wheat. So if you pull up the wheat in order to get the weed, you kill the wheat. You can't kill the wheat just by pulling the weed. You will kill the wheat just by pulling the wheat. And it's only later in its development that a trained eye farmer can distinguish between the weed and the wheat. I've heard mental health professionals say that there are times when depression or even severe mental disorder can be a person's way of calling attention to something more important in their lives, something that needs to be healed, something that needs to be addressed, something that's aching to become whole. But it takes wisdom. It takes patience. It takes courage to recognize even that depression can sometimes have integrity. It looks like weed, but sometimes it may call us to pay attention to something else more closely resembling wheat. However, this kind of patience, I don't know for you, but for me, it's difficult. It's difficult in a culture of immediate gratification. In the words of one writer, sometimes the irritating suppresses annoyances, mysteries and stresses and conflicts and paradoxes and irrational life, which are often regarded as weeds. Sometimes those problems that we think of as weeds or aliens and which we shun, because we're trying to live this perfect life, they're really authentic and valid, meaningful, constructive parts that should be named, that should be welcomed, and maybe even deliberately befriended. Wheat. See, sometimes we're just striving for this perfect union. I remember when Senator Obama gave a speech on race, and he talked about this perfect union. But what I did not hear him say in that speech is that he was seeking a weed-free field full of colorblind Americans. That's not what he said. That's not the goal that he was looking for. And sometimes when we say we're striving for perfections, it really constricts and it limits us. So maybe instead of striving for perfection, we should strive for wholeness. We should strive for wholeness. What is wheat? And what is weed in your landscape? Do we have the patience to wait until the harvest really separates them? The field hands went to the boss and said, "Hey, do you want us to pull up the weeds out of the wheat?" But you notice what the farmer said, "No, let them grow together." In an age of anxiety, I admit that sometimes I don't have the kind of wisdom. I don't have the kind of patience. I don't have the kind of faith to wait. The weeds and the wheat are difficult indeed to sort out, but the challenge for you and the challenge for me is to learn to wait, to pay attention. You see, because we live in a culture and an anxiety, a culture of anxiety and immediate gratification. Could it be that we risk weeding out the work of the Holy Spirit in a world by trying to sort it out by ourselves? Could it be? I'm not a Ariana Grande fan. And it would actually be difficult for me to name any of her songs. And I really don't know how this particular song ended up on my playlist. But it popped up this week, and I listened to it. It's a song called "Thank You." And she said, "I thought I'd end up with Sean, but he wasn't a match. Wrote some songs for Ricky. Now I listen and laugh. Even almost got married. And for Pete, I'm so thankful. Wish I could say thank you to Malcolm, cause he was an angel. One taught me love. One taught me patience. One taught me pain. Now I'm amazing. So I've loved and lost, but that's not what I see. So look what I got. Look at what you taught me. And for that, I say thank you. Next." Have you ever thought that you and I could be weed in someone else's life? You see, often my reaction to the needy, weedy situations and people that come into my life is that I want to dig them up. I want to plow them over. And I want to throw them out. Because if the truth be told, I'd rather not deal with the weeds. I'd rather not deal with the weeds. I don't want to deal with the weeds because sometimes the weeds point to something in my life that I'd rather not see. Sometimes the weeds point to something in my life that I'd rather not acknowledge. Sometimes the weeds point to something in my life that I don't want to confess. Sometimes the weeds point to something in my life that I don't want to admit. You see, the weeds can expose the shady side of me. And that's just where the weeds seem to attach. Grab their roots on that shady side of me. but maybe, just maybe, hidden among the weeds that come into my life are some seeds for transformation. Maybe hidden among the weeds is the wheat that will nourish a new life. Maybe hidden among the weeds is some restoration that I need. In an age of anxiety and suspicion and paranoia, I wonder, do we have to give in to either or, all or nothing, us, them, black, white, gay, straight, trans, non-binary, Christian, Jew, Muslim? Do we have to give in to it? Do we have to give in to those positions that limit our options of the world? We eat wheat. See, sadness, anger, loss, guilt, remorse, and compassion are all emotions and states of being that can sometimes appear as weeds. But they can all remind us that we are intended to be human beings, not human doing. Maybe for the sake of appearance, we feel we have to ignore, we have to deny, we have to root out, we have to discard the weedy feelings from what it means to be a whole person. Or is it possible? Is it possible to allow the weeds and the wheat to exist in this tension? Is that possible? Is it possible to allow them to grow together until a time when they're sorted out? Let's pray. We thank you, Creator God, that you give us fields where we experience both the joy of wheat growing and the challenges of weeds entering in. Give us the wisdom that we need and the patience that we need to allow them to grow and be sorted out at their right time. Amen.